And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, at what point does our general cooperation with the world and with known liars, at what point does that end? When it comes to building God's kingdom. The church cannot conform to the standards of the world and still be the church. Friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. James 4:4. Next, here's the key. We have nothing in common with those who continually reject Jesus Christ. The Christian cannot conform. It's not just the church can't conform. The Christian cannot conform to the standards of the world and still be a Christian. Friendship with the world still makes you an enemy of God, James 4:4. And finally, the enemy uses people close to us and far away from us to discourage and frighten us. And that can last an extremely long time. While we will not enjoy these challenges, we are not alone during these challenges. And God, as always, will show himself a faithful friend.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, this can be for a question you might have. It can be for a prayer request. It might be a praise report. It might be an answer to Bible trivia. I don't know. Bible trivia kind of like this. At what event did a cloud hide Jesus from the apostles' sight? At what event did a cloud hide Jesus from the apostles' sight? What event was that? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. And then you can also, as you know, email in david@hemustincrease.org. Now, that can be, like we said, it can be for Bible trivia, it can be for prayer requests, it can be for praise report, it could be whatever you got going on, just because our goal here is to help people get closer one step at a time, getting closer to the Lord, one step closer. It's all that matters, is getting closer. It's big, really important for Christians to understand. It's not, Christianity is not saying yes to Jesus once. It's continually saying yes to Jesus. That's what makes you a disciple. Okay? All right. So while that's going on, I just want to remind you, any topics open for conversation, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. In fact, sometimes it's not even radio. Yeah, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. And before we get into the teaching, I just want to give a big shout-out. There was a really nice picture of Terrific T and of Jennifer and of Sarah in Facebook, and it was a great picture, and I was able to make a comment on it. I hope they got that comment. But anyway, they work great together. Don does a great job of pulling this team together, and we just want to give them a shout-out. Make sure to keep them in prayer, because it's not like their lives are like a picnic. Is your life a picnic? Is it just like you just like?
Oh, not at all.
Okay, I'm just making sure. or is it a picnic, but then there's ants, right? There's like ants that are like, hey, get away from me. Hey, hey, back away, right?
That's a better term for it.
Yeah, okay. All right, all right. Trivia question. What event did a cloud hide Jesus from the apostles' sight? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. We're going to do a quick play on the website, and then we're going to get into the teaching because there is so much to cover. So let's do the website real quick, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, check that out. We appreciate everybody doing all the giving that they can give. We do. Our bill did go up because we went from the 60 minutes to the 90 minutes. So we would just want to make sure that's always covered and take care of our end here. We are going to pick this up from Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Most of this is really, it's actually quite fascinating. If you'll remember, this is all Israel being commanded by a foreign king to come back and rebuild the temple and reestablish Israel as a nation, all based on the prophecy that came out of Jeremiah. This is chapter 4 in Ezra, and it says this. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here." Let me just say this, and I'm going to say it in the nicest possible way as not to offend anybody except for those who need to be offended. There are many people that are going to say they are believers just like you. And there are many people that are liars. And the reality check is Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." The connection here in Ezra 4 is these are people who are the enemies of Israel, okay? And they say, "Oh, we worship the same God you worship. We love him and we've been following him. Let us help you build this, and we just want to be just closely connected with you. Isn't that great? We just want to be your friends." The reason that I bring this up is so that you can be aware, not that the people in your church, the person in your church is trying to noodle their way into your lives, but the world does try to influence the church. The world tries to put its morality and its understanding of what's right and wrong and its theory and tries to emerge that and submerge that into the church so that the church will be more like the world, because then the world will be more accepting of the church. But that's not what the truth calls for, and that's not what Jesus did, and that's not what his ministry was. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Consequently, that means if you don't love Jesus, you won't keep his commandments. It's not overly complex. I'm going to give big props to A.W. Tozer that said there's not all that much that needs to be reinterpreted there. It's pretty straightforward. Some people are in and some people are out. And the people that are out should not be telling the people who are in what the church ought to look like. So in a class that I had, in a master's class, there was a very vibrant discussion board, and people on one side of that discussion were saying, "Well, we don't want to offend anybody. We're trying to get everybody to be a part of all of what we're doing." The problem there is that when you say that you don't want to offend anybody, therefore what I'm going to do is live my life in such a way as to be compliant and to be accepting of everybody else's philosophy, is some of those philosophies are anti-Christ. They're anti-Christian. And so if you think of it in those terms, you can't do that. You can't connect to a philosophy that says we don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do not accept him as God. We're telling you what the right standards are. Absorb our standards. That is so wrong. And here you have this situation, just so you can see, this has been going on for thousands of years. That the enemies of Israel would say to Zerubbabel and the people, well, let us build it with you. We worship God just like you do. Now, they had never worshiped God prior to that, but now all of a sudden they want to worship God. The idea behind this is that you have to be aware that the world has its system and the church has its system. The world has its economy and God has his economy. And the world's way of doing things is not okay with God, period. So we as Christians need to know what God has to say about these issues, okay? All right. The trivia question that we asked you, straightforward, what event did a cloud hide Jesus from the apostles' sight? That would be the ascension in Acts chapter 1, where he disappeared from their sight, and they were like going, ooh, look at that. It's like a holy elevator. Oh, they might not have used that term. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hand. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave. I got nothing to say.
There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we got another trivia question. I just find it so funny. Sometimes when you do teachings, you know that last teaching, that last segment I did, people are like going, oh. You think that's bad. Wait till we go through the rest of this text, and then it makes me realize what Jesus, when he first taught, in his first year, he was Mr. Popular. Okay, and then in the second year, it was kind of like iffy. In his third year, disciples were dropping off left and right, okay, because the teachings got tougher, the teachings got tougher. And you just sit there and think, it's amazing how he did it, because it was full rejection, and he had everything he said was right on in the truth. And then when people do it, you know, it's one of those funny things where you think, I wish I could say something more uplifting, but here's what it says. It's like you got to speak for the author. And not the audience. That's kind of the way it goes. Here's the next trivia question. What sign did God set in the clouds to indicate he would never again flood the world? What sign did God set in the clouds to indicate that he would never again flood the world? If you think you know the answer to that, you can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. That should be a pretty easy one. And I will confess that shouldn't be that difficult. I don't think so. What sign did God set in the clouds to indicate that he would never again flood the world? All right, I got a couple of jokes, and I know that T has got the buzzer ready. These are not bad. They're not bad. They're not brilliant. But they're not bad. How about that? All right, you ready, T? You ready to buzz away if they're good? Okay, here we go. All right, here's the first one. A Sunday school teacher had just concluded her lesson and wanted to make sure that she had made her point. She said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you obtain forgiveness of sin?" Can anyone tell me what you must do in order to obtain forgiveness of sin? There was a short pause, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up and said, "You have to sin." See, in order to get forgiveness of sin, you have to sin. See how that works? Okay, I got buzzed. Okay, how about this one? All right. Okay, here we go. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, 5 years old, and Ryan, 3 years old. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." So Kevin, the 5-year old, turned to his younger brother, Ryan, the 3-year old, and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Because then he would have to wait. Oh, come on. The both of those? Come on. Oh, okay, fine. I made T the arbitrator. I can't do anything about it. Okay, here we go. I didn't think they were that bad, but okay. Here we go. We're going to go into our next set of teachings. Again, the trivia question. You be Jesus. Come on. What sign did God set in the clouds to indicate that he would never again flood the world? Okay, get a bunch of answers in now. Everybody's right so far, so we'll just leave that there. If you think you know the answer, I'm going to call in 972-445-0770. It's always funny when people do little pictures. I really appreciate those because they just make me smile. Let me get into this next segment. Again, this is not going to be the most thrilling segment you've ever heard. That's what this is. This is Ezra chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 3. I'm actually going to read it back from verse 1 so I can have you follow through with the context. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since the king of Assyria brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, "You may have no part in this work. You may have no part in this work, for we have nothing in common." Wow. Could you imagine what the news coverage would be on like CNN or MSNBC or even Fox if they had approached people and said, well, we want to work together with you. And then the reply from the Israeli leaders is, you may have no part in this work, for we have nothing in common. I mean, they would be so vilified. It's not even fun. They'd be so vilified. It's sad. But here's the bottom line that people need to at least be honest about. A person that continually rejects Jesus, not every person, but a person who continually rejects Jesus, mocks Jesus, makes fun of Jesus, you're not going to have a ton in common with them, even if they're your blood, because they're rejecting the Son of the Most High God, the testimony God has given regarding salvation for mankind. They're making fun of it. And the reality check is that people use their systems to look at things. So optimists look at things optimistically, pessimists pessimistically, Christians through Christ. That's how we look at things. That's how we examine things. That's how our view of the world is. Everybody has a worldview all over the planet. Some people view the planet as more important than people. That's their worldview. Everything they decide there on, from there on out is going to be about promoting the planet and not promoting people. Everybody has, or many people have a view that animals are more important than people. So everything they view is animal-centric. Well, we see Jesus as the most important person of all history for all time from beginning to end. And so we see things through a Christ-centric mindset. But you're not going to have a lot in common with people who think you're an idiot because you think that way. You're not going to have a lot going on if you have people who are anti-Christ, anti-Christian, you're just not going to have the same kind of connect. Well, it's hard to hear that, but it's true. And so in this case, they're asking, hey, we want to build with you. And the response is, you don't even believe in God. Why are we going to let you help us build this? And more importantly, why do you really want to? And that's where a whole nother segment comes in of our need to be more discerning and more aware. But let me make this clear. I'm not advocating you being mean to people. I'm not advocating you being rude to people. I'm not advocating any of that. I'm simply reiterating what fellowship has light with darkness. None. And so the reality in that is that the loving people does not mean that you allow them to put their worldly influence into what you're doing for the kingdom, whether it's a project or your own personal life. God is at the center. Jesus is our everything, now and forever. And the reason that I'm fighting that and declaring that is because there is going to come a time of separation. If the Lord tarries and the rapture doesn't happen the way that people have anticipated it to, and things go on deeper and it gets more intense for Christians, right? If that happens, okay, let's say it doesn't happen, great, then you don't have to worry about it. But if it happens, you still have to be prepared for it. And as that distinguishment comes more and more intense, you have to have that much more and more of a handle on things. How serious is your faith? Because it better be worth dying for, because it can go there. You know, 1,400 Christians were killed in the last 5 months who professed Christ overseas. But people don't even know that. If we had 1,400 people die here, we'd be like, oh my. It's like, look, that's happening. I don't know if you follow that story or not, but that pastor in Canada, they took that guy down. He's a pastor in Canada. He didn't want to acquiesce to what was going on. They took him down with a SWAT team. They threw him in jail. You don't think it happens? It happened to the north of us. So we need to be firm in our faith. You don't have to be a jerk about your faith. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying you should, you know, get ready to, you know, repel them and it's the Christian army that's going to rise up and eliminate all. That's not your call. Your call is to represent Jesus Christ, but it's also not to be deluded by the world. And just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to change who you are as a Christian. Your Christianity is first and foremost. I'm pretty sure in the Gospels where Jesus says, you're going to have to love me more than anybody else. I'm pretty sure that's for real. I'm pretty sure he wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for? Playing. It's Jesus first, then everything and everybody else. That's all. And that's only if you want to be a Christian. You want to follow Jesus Christ. Like, that is so mean. That is so... No. We all knew when we said yes and we got deeper in and you made that sincere prayer, oh, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to reflect you. I want to do all the things you want me to do. I want to honor you. I want to love you. I want to be that Christian that you've called me to be. When that all that took place, all that happened, okay, when all that was going on, the Lord said yes and said, okay, I'll answer that prayer. That and this are connected. Jesus first, now and always, Jesus first. All right, we got somebody on the call, but we're going to have to wait to take the call. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the trivia question. What sign did God set in the clouds to indicate he would never again flood the world? That would be the rainbow. The rainbow. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And then we're going to come back because we got more and more and more to cover. I knew this would be a tougher one, but that's how it goes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. Here is our next trivia question. According to the Song of Solomon, what is so powerful that rivers cannot quench it? What is so powerful that rivers cannot quench it? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. All right. I'm getting ready for the next seggy, but we got to do a little bit of history. We're still going to do history, I think, through the end of this month, and then we'll be stopping the history part of it. So let's go through a little bit of history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Today is National Cherry Cobbler Day, which works for me. I like cherry cobbler. That's a definite work for me. Also, National Walnut Day, which, walnut. I like walnuts. I mean, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's Shavuot, and Shavuot is a Jewish holiday that's known in English as the Feast of Weeks for those that are trying to figure it out. It is also National Mushroom Hunting Day. I'm not sure what to say about that because I'm not really into mushroom hunting. Okay, somebody calling in, and we'll get that in a split second. Also on this day, watch this. This is a classic. 1846, on this day, Adolf Sachs invented the saxophone. Come on, that is classic. And then in 1939, on this day, the first sporting event televised in the United States. This is the actual first sporting event ever televised in the United States. Princeton beats Columbia 2-1 in the second half of a doubleheader baseball match. It was televised by NBC's experimental station, W2XBS, out of New York. So it's kind of interesting. And then this is the last thing, and I thought this was the most bizarre thing I've heard in a long time. Ready? 1985 is the world record for motionlessness. Motionlessness. William Faku sat 24 hours on a motorcycle and didn't move at all. It's just like, I don't know what you wake up and think, I'm going to sit on a motorcycle for 24 hours and not move. I'm just not going to move. I'm just not going to do a single thing. That's... okay. All right. We ready? We got somebody calling in? Yep. Okay. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Well, well, I think I'm doing okay. And I have a verse I want to share, too.
Okay.
I haven't been able to listen to your whole program because I got a phone call that kept me from listening. But, I'm just using reason for your question. Okay, reasoning for your question.
Okay, did you have an answer on the trivia, or did you know that one first? Did you want to do that as well?
I wanted to do both, but okay. I thought maybe the trivia first, maybe.
Let's do that. Okay, let's do trivia
it's just
first.
The verse that... made me think of this verse when I first got to talk to you, then I had to hang up. It was about you were talking about how you were rejected by the family.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, anyway, it's not about rejection, but it's a nice verse for us all to keep in mind. Okay.
Okay. Do you want? All right. So you want to do the trivia first? Do you remember, according to Song of Solomon, what's so powerful that rivers cannot quench it?
Well, I'm going to say the wind. And the reason I'm saying the wind is because it was the wind that parted the Red Sea.
Okay, the answer is, okay, so according to Solomon, what's so powerful rivers cannot quench it? The answer is love. Love is so powerful that rivers can't even stop it. That's that.
Okay, rivers can't even stop it.
Yes, that's how powerful love is.
Now, I thought maybe I'm just using my reasoning. I thought maybe it was the wind.
Yeah.
The rivers couldn't
stop. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. But, I mean, it's not what the scripture says, but it is a really thoughtful, thought-provoking answer. It really is. So you did nice on that. But it's in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7, where it says that love cannot quench many waters or the rivers of water.
Oh, love?
Yeah, love. That's the answer.
Well, I wasn't thinking.
That's okay.
Where's that at in Solomon?
It's Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. All right, why don't you go ahead and share your verse with us that you wanted to share with us?
Okay, but you see my reasoning because, you know, it was the wind that parted the Red Sea.
Yep,
okay, here's the question. I mean, here's the verse.
Go ahead.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us.
That is
now,
excellent.
Now, this happens to be Romans 8, the 18th verse.
Excellent. That's an excellent verse. That's a very, very powerful verse that helps us remember that what we go through now is nothing compared to how great it's going to be.
Yeah. So that's when I heard about the family and all. This is what I thought about, you know. So this is a thing to keep in mind, not only with families, but with everything, with our government and so many different things, and when the Antichrist appears.
Yep.
So, okay, well, thank you, David.
You're welcome, Mary. Excellent job. Thank you so much.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Good job, Mary. Good job. All right, let's get into the rest of this text, and then we'll get to the next thing. So, many waters cannot quench love. That's the key. Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. Good job on everybody who texted in. We got a ton of texts on that one. Really good. Okay, so let me take it to this next level. I'm going to finish this little part right here. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and other leaders and said, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do." Now, they were lying, but that's moving up past that. "We have sacrificed to him ever since the king of Assyria brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the other leaders of Israel replied, "You may have no part in this work. We have nothing in common. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us to." So what they were standing on, so you can understand, is they were given a charge or an edict. And this was anointed by God. God, using a foreign king, said, "Hey, we're going to have you rebuild the temple." And so they go to rebuild the temple, and other people are trying to, you know, kind of work their way in. They're trying to become a part of it. But the reason that they were doing that was not because they wanted to glorify God or not because they wanted to be a part of it, but because they were looking to get involved so that they could detract from the work. And so we're going to get into the detraction part in the last segment. But what you and I need to be aware of is that people in our lives are important. God has placed them there for a reason. They're in our universe. But where it is not okay to partner with them is in your growth between you and the Lord and them who are not Christians telling you how to do that. That's what we're talking about more than anything else. You got to be careful because people will use teachings like this and they'll go off the rails and they'll be super mean. And it's like, that's got nothing to do with this. When it comes to you and God, when it comes to you and your church, when it comes to you and your fellowship with people, the world's influence is not the wisdom that is to be used. The scripture says there's the way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Mankind's wisdom is fully tainted with sin. And because of that, you cannot rely on that to be your anchor. God's wisdom is before all mankind existed, and in that element, his wisdom can be trusted. His truths can be relied upon. They don't change. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but you have to acknowledge in the last 2 weeks, the science has changed a lot, doesn't it? It's changed a lot in the last 2 weeks, but God's truth doesn't change. And that's where it's dependent. And where the concern is, as a Christian, even myself, is allowing so much of the worldly influence to change. And I have that challenge because I try and make the show entertaining, and I also bring in jokes and do things like that. And some people, they just can't handle it. And I understand that. I respect that, and I don't have anything negative to say about it. This show is not for them. But there's some people that need that, like I do, to be able to process everything. They need a little bit of relief in it. They need to be able to understand it at a different level. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why Jesus used parables to teach people, because it's how people could access and understand the stories and what's being told. That part's fine. But you can't let the world dictate what the church is, and you can't let the world dictate what a Christian is. And they will try. They will tell you what they think a good Christian is. The answer to that is wrong answer. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who knows when I'm broke? The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So I just, it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know? So you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, here's our last trivia question for today. Get ready. Get ready for it. Get ready. Here we go. Last trivia question for today. What epistle? Remember, an epistle is not the wife of an apostle, but the epistle is a letter. And I will tell you, these are in the general letters. What epistle talks about a cloud of witnesses? What letter in the New Testament talks about a cloud of witnesses? A cloud, not McCloud, a cloud of witnesses. If you think you know the answer, of which Joy, Ann, and Cordelia have been on target all day long. Excellent job, ladies. If you think you know the answer, you can either call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or also you can email David at hemustincrease.org. So that's the question. What letter talks about a cloud of witnesses? Very, very, you know, straightforward, pretty solid. Oh, somebody calling in already. So we're grateful for that. We'll go ahead and take that call and then see where it leads as we further along. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Okay. We got this as a classic cloud. There's a letter that talks about the cloud of witnesses. What letter are we referring to?
I believe that's Hebrews.
That is correct, sir. You are 100% right. Excellent job. It's the letter of Hebrews. Consider such a great cloud of witnesses. That's it. And those clouds of witnesses, that's all coming from that Hebrews 11, what many people call the Hall of Fame of Faith.
Right.
That's what they call it. So excellent job.
All those people, yes.
Very good, my brother. I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you for having the program.
All right. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. Here we go. The answer is Hebrews. Hebrews, right? Who makes the coffee? Moses said. Hebrews. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, we're going to do Greek. So we're going to do our Greek word. Let's go ahead and do our Greek music for that. Greek. Yeah, it's not fancy, but it does work. I'm just saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpets will sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. The word moment is atomos. Atomos. And atomos is like where we get the word what? Atom. It's comparing atomizer or atomic, uncut, indivisible, undissected, infinitely small. The word is a compound of un and temnos, which is to cut in two. So you can't cut it in two. When it comes, it represents an extremely short unit of time, a flash, an instant, a unit. Atomos. Atomos is the Greek word for moment, in a moment, in an atomos. There we go. All right? Okay. And there you go for that. All right, so we got the trivia in, and we got, and John did a great job answering that, and then we got the Greek word in and got that taken care of, and here we are at the end of this text, of which I hope you still love me when we're all done with this. Just doing the best we can to share with one another. But sometimes, you know what? You got to take the stand, and this is the stand. Ezra chapter 4, verse 4. The local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their aims. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. Wow. So this is the children of Israel fighting their way to rebuild the temple under the commandment from a Gentile king, but commanded and directed by the Lord. Never forget, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it in whatsoever direction he desires. And so here the king had given the edict, and they were out there, and they were working hard, and they were trying to put together the temple, and they're working on the temple, and the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people. There is something about the way that the enemy uses people close to us who aren't a part of the tribe, so to speak, to discourage us in the faith and to frighten us and to make us walk in a spirit of fear, which God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And then they went even further, these people, because they were working against the cause. They were bribing people to frustrate the goals. And if you don't recognize, or if I don't recognize, that the enemy has a plan, and that's to frustrate our progress. He doesn't want you. Just think of that temple as you. You're the temple. And the enemy doesn't want that temple built. He doesn't want that temple to be able to house the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want the temple of your life to be so effective as to advance the kingdom of God. So he's going to bring into your life through people and circumstances discouragement and fear and frustration. Those are the three things that are listed, by the way, in Ezra 4:4 and 5 is fear, discouragement, and fear and frustration. Sometimes that's, oh, it's always allowed because God's using it, but sometimes it's a result of life, and sometimes it's a result of warfare. And we need to be able to, at least to some degree, know the difference. And just to give you an idea of this time period, there's a reason that Scripture gives information like this. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia. Do you know how long that was? 18 years. That's how long that went. 18 years of that. Of trying to frighten the people, trying to, you know, bribe people against them, trying to discourage the people, trying to frustrate the people. And that's just in that one scenario. There was other things. You're going to find that out through the rest of Ezra and Nehemiah. There's other elements of discouragement, other attacks, other things, other accusations. Those are all going on. You and I need to at least be aware. Look at, this is a war. This is a spiritual war. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down every imagination, an evil thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought unto obedience to Christ. It's a war for your temple. It's a war for the temple of God. No, the devil's not going to win. We already know that, but that doesn't mean he's not going to try and put a wrench into the system and make it, you know, churn slower. But God always prevails, and you are part of God's work, and you will prevail. Yeah, you know, I remember driving down in Flagstaff, Arizona. I just remember this experience, so I'm just sharing it with you. And as I was driving, I was thinking about the, you know, God, how does he do like eternal works? And you know, it's like just my brain thinks about like, hey, how's this an eternal work or whatever. And then he was showing me that I'm an eternal work, that you're an eternal work, the people are eternal works.
And we're going to prevail. It's going to happen because the Lord's working on us, and it's going to happen, and we're going to get through. But we need to be aware. Look, there's an enemy. He don't like us. And he doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to be discouraged and depressed. That's what he wants. But we need to stand firm in our faith and just say, no, no, I understand. I understand it's tough. I understand it's difficult. I understand it's hard. But forward we go. And instead of conforming ourselves, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed, right? You're not supposed to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to be transformed to the image of Christ. So there's a part of us that we need to protect, a part of you that you need to put safety around that doesn't let the influences of the enemy or influences of the world, or doesn't let discouragement or fear or frustration take hold in. You got to have some protection there. Because there's no way this is going to take place where everything's just going to be cotton candy and Skittles. Dan brought that up. No, it's not. It's not going to be cotton candy and Skittles. There's going to be warfare. There's going to be pain. There's trials. There's fiery trials, in fact, the scripture says. Through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. Not through some, through many. But we prevail. Because we are an eternal work from God. And being confident of this one thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ. So forward. Forward we go, with opposition and all, regardless, no matter what the enemy tries to do, he won't prevail. Because it's not hard to read Revelation. We win. I mean, it's the win. But in the meantime, you go through the character building that God has assigned us. That's the goal. That's what you get from these things. The enemy opposing us to build and to rebuild. That should make us all the more determined to stay faithful and stay diligent in our faith. Because not everybody's going in. Even people that say they're going in aren't going in. A lot of people say things just to get along. You have to be deep in your heart a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ and what he has to say.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.